Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James with a rejection.
Welcome to the Chase Down on Almighty Baller Radio, part of Dash Radio. I'm Justin Rowan with my co-host Carter Rodriguez, recapping the Cavs unfortunately not defending their NBA championship. They fall to the Golden State Warriors in a hard-fought Game 5 and do not come back from a 3-0 deficit. Carter, I'm sure you're feeling just absolutely fantastic about this.
Yeah, I very rarely have wanted to do a podcast less. I'm doing the overreaction thing a little bit, where I don't know. I think you have to be really disheartened by how well the Cavs played in the last three games.
Yeah, that's the tough
given
part
that it was not close. Well, ultimately,
yeah. I mean, the tough part is that the series was so much closer than the five games would indicate. They had a legitimate chance in Game 3, and I mean, it's unfortunate. Like, if they win Game 3. It's a 2-2 series, and then Game 5 is kind of what you would expect from a hard-fought series. The road team really pushes. Durant just has this out-of-body experience where he just hits absolutely every shot, and you say, okay, you know what, we had a hard-fought game, we'll go back home, defend home court, and then try to win it in 7. But when you reduce your margin for error, when you miss all those open shots in those previous games, you're kind of at the mercy of Golden State because they're able to go on these runs and ultimately prove to be too much.
Yeah, I just think that we all sort of agreed this was going to be their best shot.
Yeah.
And a margin of victory or a margin of defeat in like the 40s on aggregate is not super inspiring. I don't know. Like, they played really well, but like the problem is, like, I mean, it took some miraculous stuff in this game just to lose by 9.
Yeah, it's true.
And I think that, you know, I just don't really see the path towards getting there. Like, Paul
Trust
George
the process.
Yeah, Paul George just is such a pipe dream that, okay, like, I guess it's possible, but to imagine that there's any chance that, to, like, assume that there's a good chance, it seems kind of foolhardy. I mean,
but that's what I do.
I know.
Like, that's 100% my brand.
Yeah, I'm saying from the Cavs front office perspective, like, I guess have the door open, but don't, you know, like, there's probably nothing in the other room. Like, Kevin
Ye
Love.
Ye of little faith. Ye of little faith. Yeah, I spent 3 years screaming that LeBron was going to come back in 2014, yeah. And I was vindicated. So that means I'm going to be right about everything.
Yeah, I mean, the only way the Paul George thing happens, right, is just if he's like, screw it, I'm only going to re-sign in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's basically what would need to happen. He has to pull a Kevin Love, essentially, because no team is going, like, there's teams that can outbid the Cavs. But I don't see Boston giving up Markel Fultz and a bunch of other assets if they don't get a long-term guarantee or an extension. Paul George not making the All-NBA team and limiting how much the Pacers can offer him certainly helps the situation. So basically, Paul George would have to go, I want to be traded to Cleveland. That's the only team I'm going to re-sign with. You'd be banking on the relationship with LeBron and the friendship he has there as being kind of a factor. And then from there, you figure out what Indy's willing to part with George for, which would likely be Kevin Love.
It just, I mean, like, would you give up TT and Love? I don't think I would.
I win.
Now has you in the... It's like they have no ancillary pieces. Shumpert is probably a negative asset unless the GM that's trading for him is an idiot. They're not going to trade Tristan.
Well, Chetty might get thrown in.
Yeah, I just don't know if anyone else really cares about Chetty other than us.
Everyone cares about him. Don't crush me. Just because you're in a dark place right now doesn't mean you have to shit on Chetty. Come on, man.
I'd rather just sign Chetty. I just want that. I don't know. It's
the
like,
ultimate pipe. If we're talking ultimate pipe dreams, let's trade Chetty's Love and Shump. No, Love and Shump for George and CJ Miles. Bring back CJ.
Nothing would make me happier in America than CJ Miles back on this team.
And you can throw in Darren Williams spray on hair as a bonus.
Darren was so bad. Darren was so bad, Justin.
He really was. And I was in such a, well, I don't know if I even want to call it a bad place, but I needed like comic relief towards the end of game five. And I almost went back to my old tweet being like, I just don't want to sign Kirk Heinrich and be like in June. Oh, we could have had Darren Williams for the finals, but we got angry in January, so we signed Kirk Heinrich. I'm like, would Kirk do more?
I think Mario Chalmers on one leg would have done more.
At least hit Kirk some balls the open threes. Knee.
It's, oh man, he was so bad. I thought Korver offensively was disappointing.
Yeah, he kind of came alive a little bit, but
yeah, he certainly woke up and his gravity was good, and I thought he defended Klay Thompson well, but like, certainly not what you hope for giving up a first-round pick.
That game three missed three that LeBron kicked it to him wide open is going to haunt me, similar yep. to Mo Williams missing that game one shot at the buzzer against Orlando.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. I don't know what you do with Korver. I guess you just bring him back, but like, how much money do you have to pay him?
Well, I think you go, hey, look what you didn't do. Do you want to win?
I don't think you should. I don't want you in the negotiation room. Hey, listen, asshole. You're going to take the minimum and you're going to like it.
Hey, Mr. Comb-over, come on.
Come on, old man. You idiot.
You're old. You've never been in a better situation. Do you want to go to another team and have to deal with the Cavs? No.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what I have seen, which is nice? I haven't seen a lot of people shitting on LeBron's legacy.
Yeah. I mean, besides like the loud internet trolls, but...
Yeah, but I mean, people worth talking about have not done anything.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of talk show hosts and debate show guys that are currently getting an IV to get some fluids back so that they can make fun of LeBron today. But other than that, I think people are pretty reasonable about it. Like, he's the first player to ever lead both teams in points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks for a final series.
Wasn't he tied with Tristan last year or something weird like that in rebounds or something?
Yeah, it was something stupid like that.
By the way, patting myself on the back, LeBron James to lead the series in rebounding at 4-1 payout. That's a winner for me.
You degen.
And I didn't bet it, but I also advocated on our gambling pod with Nate Jacobson that Durant to lead the series in scoring at plus 340. So that's another hit. So we actually gave, if there's any consolation, we gave some pretty good advice on that pod. We hit just about everything. The only one we missed, I think, was Kevin Love to hit the first field goal of the finals, and he got the first possession, which is all you could ask for.
Yeah, he did get the first. I mean, that was such an obvious one. Like, he always gets the first quarter look.
Plus 750.
That's not bad.
It's great odds. So, whatever. That's all that I care about is that we got some bullshit on our side. I don't know. It just feels like the Cavs don't have a ton of room to add. I don't know if, like, who are the ring chasers they're going to look at? I mean, certainly Vince Carter, right?
Mm-hmm. PJ Tucker, maybe?
I am concerned that Vince Carter's just going to go sign Golden State. Would that break you?
Oh.
Would you be able to handle that as a human being, as a person, as a man?
That would hurt. That would hurt me deep down in my plums.
Well, you know it's going to happen, right?
What about Zach Randolph? They're going to get so many ring chasers. It's going to be exhausting.
Yeah, because that finals felt like a foregone conclusion. at a lot of points, and players are going to. I think there were some guys who didn't sign with them ring chasing this summer. Because, like, oh, you know, Cavs are still the top dog. They're now comfortably the top dog by like a mile. So they're going to get some bullshit.
Yeah, they're definitely going to get like Nene, Vince.
Yeah, Nene is definitely having. What if Zach? My heart could not handle Zach Randolph going there.
Oh boy,
could you imagine how heartbreaking that would be? Oh my god!
All right, this is so already going sad to a place that I'm bummed out with. No, let's look at the useless free agents that would somehow be helpful, kind of like JaVale McGee was. Like, they're definitely going to turn Jeff Green into a serviceable player.
Who's the worst player that could be useful for them in free agency? Oh, Powell will be so frustrating on that team.
Powell. Steve Kerr is 100% going to be enamored with Powell.
Yeah, this will be the tax for the Spurs adding Chris Paul. Is that the Warriors will end up with Powell?
Oh, boy. I hate them.
What about Roy Hibbert? Could Roy Hibbert play good minutes for them?
I don't think so. I think the whole verticality thing is kind of
the dream is dead. What about Gerald Green? Gerald Green could be a frustrating Warrior pickup.
Man, why are we doing this? Let's focus on what we can get.
There's nothing we can control, Justin. Control is an illusion.
You're like digging further and further into a grave, and I'm like, okay, yeah, like this is a good direction to keep going.
Well, no, that's
I'm not going to let you derail.
Okay, let's talk about David Griffin. Cavs are apparently meeting with him.
Was there a report this morning? I missed that.
Last night. They're going to meet with him in the coming days. They have to re-sign Griffin, right? Like, he's the. Like,
I'd feel so much better about the future if they had David Griffin locked up. Like,
they have negative 5,000 assets right now, and there's no one better at working on a deficit than David Griffin. Like,
true.
I think it was Ziggy that has the bit, like, you know, David Griffin when he was a kid, like, sent the check right before the day before payday, knowing the check wouldn't clear, but knowing they don't, you know, cash it until the next day for rent. Like living on the margins. That's David Griffin's skill set. So
David Griffin would like trade a ham sandwich with no mustard, no nothing, no condiments in it at all, for like a fruit by the foot and something sweet, like Lunchables. He'd trade it for Lunchables back in kindergarten. You just know it.
Yeah,
he found a way.
Yeah, it's the old banana for the snack pack. From Billy Madison.
Ooh, yeah. I could go for a snack pack right now.
See, I've never done a snack pack. So I don't like pudding that's not cool, that's so of such low quality they just put it on the shelf next to the cereal. That really bothers me. Now, Jell-O pudding, that's the good stuff. They keep that chilled, and that's what you want. You want that. It's kept right by.
But you can keep that snack pack cooled. Like you can.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, it's so low quality. The grocery store is like, it's fine.
I like my food to be indestructible.
It's like the Parmesan cheese thing, where like the thing of Parmesan is just sitting on the shelf and not with the other cheeses refrigerating. It's like, oh, that can't be good.
Or the pepperoni flippings.
You know what else they don't refrigerate that's problematic is pepperonis. Come on, meat. Why don't you at least pretend?
Wait, no, they kind of do, or at least
no, they do. No, like if you go to a Walmart, you can absolutely find pepperonis just hanging from one of those little side racks.
That's upsetting.
It's very problematic what we eat in this modern world. But I'm gonna keep eating it, so who cares? Like, I'm not gonna change my behavior. That's the problem with any of these like documentaries or like PETA or whatever. Like, just not. It's been proven that nothing will ever change my behavior with regards to eating, so I'm not going to worry about it.
Speaking of non-refrigerated pepperoni, Richard Jefferson Do you think he's coming back next year? That was the best segue I've ever done.
Thanks for getting me back on track. I don't know. Maybe. I don't think he wants to turn down the money, but also I think he's like, fuck, that sucks.
And I really want more road tripping.
That's my only concern. If he's in the rotation next year. Like, God, why is James Jones not retiring yet?
LeBron won't let him. He said he won't let him.
Just have him be a coach.
But that's what Damon Jones is doing. They already have one coach.
We got too much cronyism going on in the Cavs. We can't, because I want RJ to get the James Jones Memorial roster spot. But we can't have like three guys that are just on the team because we like them.
Well, no, we'll shift James Jones into the Dante Jones spot.
Okay. So Jones moves to 15th in the rotation.
Yes.
Jefferson moves to like 13th or something like that. And then Chetty takes RJ's minutes.
Yeah. And then
I don't know. I thought RJ was really good in the series.
Rudy Gobert.
Yeah. I thought RJ was good in the series. What do you agree with that?
He was good in 4 and 5.
Yeah. In 1 and 2 was so hard because so many guys played like crap.
Yeah, it's true. Man, poor Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Dude balled out. Like he didn't have a great game 5, but he fought hard.
He had an objectively terrible game 5. Let's not mince words. He had 6 points.
Draymond on 2 of 8
shooting. Yeah, he was not good. He had the worst plus minus on the team by a mile, and it showed. You know, but that happens, I guess, when you're Kevin Love. Like, he has games like this every now and again, especially against the Warriors. And I don't know. I just don't really understand where the trade is, you know, like.
Well, I guess part of the attraction for Love, I'm going to keep pitching this because I'm assuming Larry Bird and whoever took over his GM duties.
Kevin Pritchard. Way to stay informed.
Yeah, you know what? Why would I care about Indiana?
Fair. Go ahead.
But I'm assuming that they're listening. But if you trade.
Is there also research?
This is very critical research for them. If you trade Paul George for Kevin Love, at least you have someone with term on the deal. He's a nice fit next to Miles Turner, and that would make you assume that would make them a more attractive location for Gordon Hayward to come to, because one, that's his hometown team, and he's expressed interest in signing there. But if you actually have Kevin Love with term rather than Paul George, who everyone knows is going to leave this summer, that has to make you a more attractive destination. And like that would legitimately be a good fit. Like if you have Jeff Teague, Lance Stevenson, or CJ Miles, whoever at shooting guard, Hayward, Love, and Turner. Like that is legitimately pretty good.
Yeah, but Hayward's not coming there.
No, he is. You're ruining my pitch.
I'd love to help your pitch, but like, and the only, I don't know. It just seems like it's contingent on about 1,000 different things. And then you look at the secondary trades, like who has the wings that they need to? I mean, wings are such a hot commodity right now. So you need to find a team with like three A, you know, B plus wings, I guess, if you really wanted to trade Love, you know, like an Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder thing. I don't know. That doesn't feel very good. I wouldn't be super interested in that. Kentavious Caldwell Pope is a name I saw floated, but he's going to get paid like the max.
Yeah, he's getting the max.
So like, that's not valuable. That just eats up more money to get a worse player. It just feels like, I don't know, man. Everyone's saying they're going to trade Love, and I just don't think they are, because I don't think that there's anything out there that's worth it.
Here's my concern.
That the other team will say yes to.
I really want David Griffin back, because I think he understands the value of Kevin Love. Like, all the reports have been he's not trading him for spare parts. He's going to move him for a star if it's going to be for anybody. And I think if you bring in a new GM,
the new crony is sending that guy out.
Yeah, he's sending him out for pieces, and I just don't think he can do that. You can't take a step back in star power. Like, you need transcendent talent to beat the Warriors. Like, that's kind of the bottom line. You need guys that can do freaking impossible things like LeBron and Kyrie did in this playoffs. Like, you need that talent.
Yeah.
Jay Crowder ain't cutting it.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah, it's just, I don't know, I just don't see it. I don't see where it comes. I don't see where, who has the wings. Stop it.
And I love Windy, but sometimes him going full doom and weird is it weirds me out.
Well, I mean, it's pretty doomy right now.
He's, you make the audacious call to the Knicks, Carmelo for love, but you need to send them the 8th pick.
That's ridiculous.
That's what he said.
What an absurd. That's just spitballing. You know, I don't want Melo. I don't think you want Melo. You know what I want?
If Melo gets bought out, because Frank Isola did bring that up, that Melo's wants to push for a buyout and he would go to the Cavs for the minimum. That I would take.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the Cavs need is some good old fashioned bullshit.
And then they need Wade to opt out and also take the minimum.
They need Chris Bosh to play in 41 home games and not travel. they need some bullshit to happen. Which, I mean, bullshit happens sometimes, you know?
Like, the banana boat, like, taking the minimum would be the funniest thing.
Yeah, you literally cannot rule that out. That there's some bullshit that could happen because, like, LeBron is really capable of, like, orchestrating that. But
and Dan
still,
Gilbert just leaves sacks of money, hidden around the city. And, oh, if you happen to run into the sack of money on 3rd and 4th Street.
Yeah, it's like, So, I don't know. Maybe some BS happens like that. Like, I think that would, you know, I think there's sometimes people act like Melo wouldn't help at all. And that seems kind of silly. Like, Melo's really good at some stuff. He just isn't, like, a super duper star anymore.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he would still be very good.
Yeah, if
that was the situation.
Him somehow for like the mid level. But like, I mean, once again, this is all such so unlikely. It feels a little stupid to talk about it, but you know,
most of what we talk about is stupid.
That's a very good point. We just talked about refrigerated grocery items for 2 minutes. I don't know. I just think this team is mostly coming back. I think if they can find an idiot to take on Shumpert that thinks he's not terrible, they'll do that.
There's no way that Shumpert is on this roster next year.
I don't know, man. I feel like he's like that one of those kind of guys who's just like you can't get rid of. Like an annoying friend that's like on the fringes of your group that's like, hey, what are you guys getting into tonight? That's Shumpert.
Yeah, he is close to Kyrie, but still. He's got to be gone. Like, because Darren's gone.
They must know, right? They must know that he is not, that he has been a terrible. I wonder if the players know, because they seem to love Shump, and like they seem to really root for him. I'm like, man, like you guys have to know he's killing you right now.
Well, if you watch the body language, like when he goes down the court and all of a sudden starts sizing up a defender, like they all kind of drop their head. They're like, okay, there's no way he's passing this out. It's a step back long two from goddamn Amon Shumpert.
Yep.
I just think if Darren's gone, they're moving Shump for a point guard. Like, they apparently had deals in place at the deadline, but decided that they would kind of wait it out, and then Darren fell into their laps, which should have worked. Like, that's the annoying thing. The Cavs additions this year all made sense. They just didn't play well in the finals.
And, like, I mean, to some extent, I do think we underscore how hard it is to play well against the Warriors. Like, sometimes people, like,
that's a big thing. Yeah,
yeah, people, like, I think people treat it like it's a vacuum, and it's not. Like, it's like, the Warriors played well, and the Cavs didn't play well, so the Warriors won. It's like, no, well, the Warriors had, like, a hand in helping. Like, Darren was completely overwhelmed by that defense more often than not. And then you're working so hard on against them on defense, so much scrambling, especially with that trapping style they were doing on Curry, that you're tired. Your legs are, like, you're losing your legs a little bit, and, like, you're not in the same rhythm, and you, I don't know, I just think the Warriors did more than people think. I mean, the Cavs only got up 24 threes in Game 5.
Yeah.
They made 24 threes in Game 4.
Yeah, you're right. Like, they're a really good team. That's why they won. And the defensive effort, I think, does kind of get overlooked by a lot of people. Like, they're like, okay, well, he so-and-so didn't play well. Like, what the Warriors did to Kyrie in those first two games was ridiculous. Like, the defense that they were throwing at him, doubling, they basically kind of let LeBron beat them. And then eventually Kyrie started passing out of those traps and anticipating that. And Lou made a smart adjustment by having Kyrie attack in isolation more rather than running the pick and roll where they could keep trapping him. But they put a lot of effort into limiting Kyrie.
Klay was awesome on Kyrie in this series. I've never seen Klay play such good defense as he did in this series.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Which maybe, you know, that's like another... I mean, kind of, we've talked about how Durant was able to be a better defender because he didn't have to expend as much energy on that end, on the offensive end of the floor. Maybe the same holds for Klay, you know? I mean, he had not a good offensive series. I think he scored like 60 points in 5 games.
Yeah.
And it was fine because he just completely shut Kyrie's water off at key moments. And, you know, like, Kyrie's going to have his games that are really, really good. But as long as it feel, you know, as long as you're not letting him go Nova, which he mostly did a good job of not doing, then you're doing your job. Your McCavs, like, needed Kyrie to go Nova. Like, they, I kind of tweeted this, and, like, to be fair, he was +4 last night in 42 minutes. In a 9-point loss.
Yeah. He played his ass off. And he was
played his ass off, but like,
he's clearly playing hurt. Yeah,
something he tweaked when he stepped on, I think it was McCall's foot, that I felt like he really messed up his ankle because he was not, he moved gingerly the rest of the game. But
yeah,
I just think, and I said this last night, they can't afford just pretty good Kyrie. 26 points on 9 of 22 shooting. 6 assists, 4 turnovers. Like, that's a good game. It's a good game. Good against everyone else. Good enough. They can't really win when he's not amazing.
No, they needed Kyrie and LeBron to match the production of Durant, Curry, and Klay, basically.
Yep.
Which, I mean, they did in game 4.
Yeah. And Curry was awesome again. His threes.
Awful lot in garbage time. What?
He went 2-9 from 3 on some pretty good looks, though.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, his... I think he's better at passing out of that trap than people like to pretend.
Oh, for sure. If Kyrie can get his decision-making to Steph levels where it's still score first, but moves the ball well... I think Kyrie even has more potential than Steph defensively. Like, I think he's stronger, he's quicker. But like, I think the Steph model is one that Kyrie should follow. I'd like to see him take more threes. But yeah, I mean, it's tough. Like, you're right. They needed Nova Kyrie all of these games.
Yep.
And he basically matched the production of Steph, but which is all you really wanted. At the very minimum, he had to match the production of Steph, but Durant was just out of this world.
Remember when we said, when we were previewing the series, and we kind of said something along the lines of, the Cavs are just going to have to ask all their players to play better than they normally do?
Yeah.
Like, to just be better than they are? I don't think a lot of players were just better than they are in this series. I thought Love, for other than Game 5 exceeded his normal production. I think LeBron was better than he normally is. I think Irving was amazing for 2 games, and then not so great for 3. Thompson did not excel.
No.
JR, I thought, especially in games 4 and 5, was amazing. And 3, 4, and 5, really. He was really good in this series. Darren played worse. Shumpert played worse than he normally is.
Which is impressive.
Korver played worse than he normally is. And your margin of error against this team is so hilariously small that it's just not enough. And that's why it's a 4-1 series.
Cavs in 9.
I would love to tell you that I'm just joking when I make the Chris Bosh jokes, but like 5% of me is like, we should be exploring this.
99% of me is like, I don't want Chris Bosh dropping dead on the Cavs floor.
What 1% of you is like, I do want him dropping dead on the Cavs floor?
No. I'm saying, like, part of my decision making, like, 99% of that is that. And then the other 1% is like, okay, he should just follow a doctor's advice. Like, it's not going to be that extreme, but.
Yeah, my point is that if a reputable ethical doctor thinks he's okay, then I'm okay with it.
Do we trust the healthcare system right now?
No, but and I certainly don't trust like any doctor Dan Gilbert brings in. Dan Gilbert's gonna walk in with Trump's doctor. Or just wear it, walk in with like a pair of sunglasses and a white lab coat and be like, I'm Dr. Pan Smilbert. And then just be like, yeah, you look good. Get out there, sport. But I don't know.
Like, Gilbert.
I don't know. The fact that the NBA also has to clear him if he returns because of the way that deal worked out with Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if he's playing again, it means he's okay. He's safe. Because it's not just one team that has some unethical doctors. Like, the league also has to sign off, which I think is encouraging if he does ever return. Because it's like, okay, we've had an independent doctor that's not here just to, you know, get paychecks from their team owner that's signing off on this. But I don't know. It's just like, I just think they need some bullshit to happen. Because... the Warriors are going to be probably as good or better next year, assuming they keep Iggy.
I really hope he's gone.
He's not going to leave, man. He's just not. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm going to be so mad when he signs for the minimum.
He's going to. Or the taxpayer exception or something like that. Like, something BS that's not as much as he's worth to their team. But
why wasn't he washed? He was washed all playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know. Just at his age, these guys don't chase one last contract when they've just won two titles in 3 years. They don't.
His 3-point percentage improved by 3 times in the finals. He was shooting 11% coming in, and he shot 33%.
His defense was so good, and they're just so switchy. You know what lineup, and I know it's stupid to parse through individual details of one game after the series is over, but the lineup that was like Steph, Iggy, Durant, Draymond, and West, that was a defensive terror.
Yeah.
Like, Iggy at shooting guard was just bullying the shit out of Kyrie. It was just a really interesting and talented lineup, and that was just really hard to score on, and I thought it flipped the game at certain points.
That's a great story.
The Cavs just could not generate consistently good looks against them, which is funny because they shot 53% from the field. But, I mean, a lot of these field goals late in the fourth were not super well contested. And the Warriors scored 129, so it doesn't matter.
You mentioned this before, and I think you're right. I think from this point on, the Cavs are just going to – all of their moves are going to be just for the Warriors. Yep. Like, they're going to build their team for that. Even if Kevin Love sticks around, and, like, to be clear, as much as I'd love to have Paul George, like, I'm not going to be happy with the Kevin Love trade. Like, I'd be thrilled with that trade, but moving him would be a bummer.
Moving anyone on that title team.
Like, the margins were, like, the Cavs had a shot in this series. They just didn't get the breaks that went their way, that needed to go their way. And I can see realistically, like, they're going to be an underdog pretty much no matter what. But I could see this series going differently with different role players. Like, I don't think it's impossible to win. I still think coming into the series, we had about a 30% chance, and that feels about right. Like, the Cavs competed. I think it took them a little too long to figure things out. I don't think Tyronn Lue did a particularly great job in the series, but I'm not going to be one of those that calls for him to be fired. He's a young coach. He made a couple mistakes. I think the Cavs adjusted well throughout the series. It is what it is. But I think the possibility of winning was there, and maybe the role players counting on the Warriors to get a little complacent. Maybe that ends up being enough.
Yeah, I
don't know.
You mentioned that make moves for only with the Warriors in mind, and we wax poetic about not wanting to lose RJ.
Mm-hmm.
Does Channing Frye get dealt?
I could kind of see it.
I mean, we know he can't play against them,
and I don't know he's a positive asset.
He is a positive asset at a pretty decent contract still.
Plus, Eddie Tavares is going to be the next Rudy Gobert.
Well, there you go. I'm kind of with you. I just like, other than Shumpert, who I just, you know, I think I'm just kind of out of patience for, like, mm-hmm. dealing anyone from that title team is really hard. I don't want to.
Yeah, I know.
I love this team, man. Like, it's one of my favorite teams I'll ever watch with personalities that are amazing. You know, it's like, it feels like the Cavs will lose their, like, spirit a little bit with no, like, Channing Frye on the bench. No RJ on the bench.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it'll be interesting. They have some tough decisions ahead, but...
The return of Dion Waiters.
Oh, man. They have to figure out something. They have to figure out a way to leverage this, to find guys who can stay on the floor without messing up, that can hit pressure threes. I mean, it's an uphill battle because they don't have a lot in the war chest, man.
Can I shoehorn some Pat Riley slander for a moment?
Forever and always. It's the easiest thing to get me fired up about in America.
I absolutely love that people are suggesting, the Miami Heat might be able to sign two max free agents if they can convince them to take a little less money and convince Dion to take less money for more money down the road. Who the hell's trusting Pat Riley to do that? He didn't honor that with Dwayne Wade. Why is he going to honor that with Dion Waiters
or Gordon player, Hayward? Like the most iconic player in franchise history. Nope. Dwayne, you're on your own. So yeah, I don't know. I don't understand how this guy gets the equity with players at this point. Because I mean, I feel like the jig is up.
If Wade gets bought out, or if he declines his player, or if he opts out, I'm 100% convinced he's coming to the Cavs for the minimum.
Yep, but I don't think he's opting out. So when? So the draft is when?
That's a good question. I don't know, man.
It's coming up really. It comes up really fast. It's I think 9 days. Like in a week. June 22nd.
Yeah.
So we have draft stuff to look forward to. Obviously, the Cavs don't have a pick, but you know, they might buy in. They might do something funky.
And Felder's obviously, gonna be Isaiah Thomas by next year.
Yeah, and there's gonna be trades. So I think this team is not gonna stand pat. So we'll hopefully have a fun summer ahead and thing, like, not bore you too bad on these future
This doesn't even
pods.
Feel like the end because it just continues, especially with the Cavs, because there's always so much drama. There's so much activity.
Yeah.
Like, it's not over.
Yeah, everyone was on Twitter kind of doing their, like, on Fear the Sword, like, it's so great to, you know, work with these guys this year. I was like, are we done? I don't know. It kind of feels like we're just going to keep going. So
I almost had a snarky tweet, but I'm like, everyone's being so genuine. So
yeah, everyone's being nice.
I might as well not be a dick for once in my life.
For once. Anyway, we could probably wrap this up right here.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. All right, so to all our listeners, thank you for listening to us. I guess we weren't even here for the full season. We were only here for like the last 2 months or so, but we appreciate all the support. We'll be continuing throughout the summer, just obviously less frequently with fewer games.
Fewer games. Zero games.
No. We're going to have very, very intensive summer league coverage.
Oh, got it. Cool.
But anyways, we appreciate it, so thank you guys very much. That's
all she wrote. We should end it with yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.